that we run from. I don't know. So, I could not be here in time. Today is it the 3rd January 1992. We will continue our Dhamma talk about the purification of a mind or consciousness. Chitta Visuddhi. Yesterday we explained the 5 hindrances which defiled the mind. When the mind is not concentrated on the object of meditation. When our mindfulness becomes sharp, clear, and continuous, and our mindfulness and meditation, then concentration becomes deeper and deeper. When the concentration is deep enough, the noting mind becomes a purified from all of these hindrances. Namely, kamma chanda nivarana, sense desire, vyabhara nivarana, ill will, hatred or anger, tinamida nivarana, sloth and tapa, Uddhajya kokojya nivarana, restlessness and remorse, vijikicca nivarana, skeptical doubt. When you have the doubt about the triple gems, you are not able to concentrate your mind, because this doubt disturbs your mind. And also because of this skeptical doubt about the triple gems, Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, because of this doubt about triple gems, you do not put enough effort in your practice. When you do not put enough effort in the practice, you won't be able to mindful of any mental or physical process very precisely and closely and attentively. When the mindfulness is not energetic, attentive, then the mind will not be concentrated well on the object of meditation. You can't attain deep concentration. When the concentration is not yet deep, not yet good enough, your mind gets defiled with the hindrances. So, doubt about triple gems, especially in the technique of meditation, is a great hindrance to your progress and concentration, as well as insight knowledge. But when you have rightly understood the theory of the technique of meditation and some aspects of Dhamma, you may be able to overcome this doubt about triple gems, especially about the technique of meditation, to a large extent. Then you'll be able to put some effort in the practice. Then mindfulness becomes sharp and clear, constant to a certain extent. Then concentration becomes deep enough. Then the mind becomes free from all kinds of five hindrances. When the mind is purified from hindrances, you feel quiet, calm, tranquil and serene and composed. Here you have some wholesome experience of a meditation when you have attained deep concentration and feel tranquil, quiet and composed. Then you can overcome this doubt, vichikicca nivarana, about triple gems. When you do not have any doubt about the technique or the triple gems, then you will be able to put enough effort in the practice. But it's a natural for every walk that you haven't any result, any good result out of it in the beginning of functioning of this walk. In the same way, in this Vipassana meditation too, you can't get a good result out of your practice and the beginning of the practice. When you have practiced this mindfulness meditation at least 10 days, you may have some good result out of it. But it takes about at least 2 months to have the remarkable benefit of this meditation. And if you can practice 1 month, it also can give you reasonable benefit for your practice. What I mean by practicing about 7 days, you can't get a good result out of this meditation, but you know the technique and you can continue to practice it at home, then you may be able to get some benefits practicing at home. So, for the beginners, we cannot expect him to อุปกรณ์ให้สิ doubt about the tech about the triple gems and especially the technique of meditation but he may have this doubt less for some experiences he had and some sitting as well as and some walking if he does it systematically methodically so this doubt is the vishikacha nivarana one of the hindrances to your progress and concentration as well as insight knowledge to overcome it you have to put enough effort in your practice then this is the ancient path will lead you to living a happy and peaceful life and blissful life when the mind to concentrate the note in mind to concentrate the mind well on the object of meditation what you need is to have a continuous and constant mindfulness for the whole day we cannot expect any meditator to have a continuous and constant mindfulness for just for say 10 days meditation or 2 weeks meditation but he must try to have continuous and constant mindfulness for the whole day as much as possible then gradually mindfulness becomes continuous constant and powerful then the mind becomes concentrated more and more deeply then he can overcome these hindrances and also mental defilements then the mind becomes free from all hindrances and mental defilements it's purified quite purified from hindrances but this state of being purified may last say about 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes about 10 minutes of purification is enough to have the insight knowledge that penetrates into the specific characteristic of mental general characteristic of body mind process mental and physical phenomena so purification of a mind is the second stage of purity in the course of our vipassana meditation mindfulness meditation the first purification is as you know purification of morality moral conduct we call it sila visuddhi and this is second one is a purification of mind citta visuddhi unless you attained some degree of a citta visuddhi purified mind you can't realize any mental or physical process as they really are only when you have attained some degree of a purified mind or purity of mind you can realize or you can distinguish between mental process and physical process through your personal experience, not by theoretical knowledge, not through theoretical knowledge, but through your personal experience. When you contemplate on rise and fall of the abdomen, making mental note, rising, falling, rising, falling, you should try to be aware of the very beginning of a rising movement and to end of it. You should follow the rising movement process, the process of a rising movement, with your note in mind very closely and precisely up to end of it. In the same way, when you observe falling movement, you should be aware of the very beginning of a falling movement and the end of it. Following the process of a falling movement with your mind very closely and precisely. Then gradually, but in the beginning of the practice, even though you try to follow the process of a rising movement, falling movement very closely and precisely, you can't do it because your mind is not familiar with the practice. And also your breathing is also not regular. Sometimes you take a vigorous breath, sometimes you take quick breath. Because you are not satisfied with the movement of the abdomen. So you want to make it more distinct and more predominant so that you can easily concentrate on it. So the breathing is also not regular. So you should try to make breathing normal and natural and steady. When the breathing is balanced and steady, then you are able to observe rising movement and falling movement attentively and closely. Then the note in my notes the rising movement, falling movement about, say, 4 or 5 times, then it goes out. Because you can very closely observe the process of rising and falling movement, then you know there's a thought or the mind, that the mind is wandering. Before you are unable to note rising and falling steadily, you do not know that there's the wandering mind or thinking mind. The mind is thinking or the mind is wandering. Only after the end of a wandering mind, you come to realize that my mind has wandered. My mind has a thought about something and so on. But though you know you have had wandering mind or thought. Then after, as soon as you know you have had a wandering thought, you should note. You should train yourself to note wandering, thinking, and so on, as a training about 4 or 5 times. Later on, when you are able to observe rising, falling movement well and steadily, attentively to a certain extent, when the mind goes out, sometimes after it's going out, you come to realize that the mind is going out, then you can observe it. going, wandering, thinking, and so on. Whenever the mind goes out, you should observe it as soon as you know it. Whenever the mind thinks about something else, you should observe it as soon as you know it. In the chapter of Citta Nupassana Satipatthana, consciousness of mindfulness of consciousness, and the discourse of Mahasatipatthana Sutra, the four foundations of mindfulness. The Buddha said, Vikhitam va chetam, vikhitam chetam di pajanadi. It means that when the mind wanders, then you should know it as wandering. When the mind thinks about something else, you should know the mind as making mental note, as thinking, and so on. Why the Buddha teaches us to be mindful of the mind which is wandering or thinking or distracting? Because he wants us to realize the wandering mind, thinking mind, and it's the true nature. When the mind is realized as just a natural process of our mentality, we do not identify the mind with a person or being. Why? Because we know the mind is just a natural process of a mentality. It's neither person nor being. What's that? This is a natural process of a mentality. Then we don't have any idea of opposing a being regarding this wandering mind or thinking mind. Then we don't react to this object, the wandering mind, the thought process, or the process of a mental phenomena. Then we accept it as it is. When we accept as it is, we do not react to it. Then we don't have either aversion or desire to it or for it. Then aversion or desire, the two hindrances has been destroyed, or the two mental defilements has been destroyed through realization of a wandering mind, thinking mind, as just a natural process of a mental phenomena, as it really is. That's why we have to observe whenever the mind wanders, or whenever the mind goes out, whenever the mind thinks about something else. But for the beginners, Sometimes it is difficult to observe, to be mindful of the thought process. As soon as they know there's a thought, consciously or unconsciously sometimes, they bring it back to the primary object. But if they train themselves to observe, to be mindful of a thought process, they will be successful. But sometimes even though the meditator observes this thought process attentively, energetically, but the thinking mind is more powerful than the thought, the noting mind, then thinking mind keep on. It's a dwelling for, say, about half a sec, half a minute, or 1 minute, and so on. In such a case, the meditator may bring the mind back to the object of primary object of meditation. The meditator may bring the noting mind to the primary object of meditation because she is unable to observe this powerful thought process. So she may bring the mind back to the primary object. But such a case, it's very rare, I think. Whenever the mind goes out, if you observe it attentively, energetically, somewhat quickly, then the noting mind becomes powerful and overpowers the thought process, and the thought process becomes weak and then stopped. In some cases, some of meditators enjoy thinking, wondering, imagining. If they enjoy thinking mind or wondering mind, imagining my imagination, they can overcome it. But later on they become restless because of these mental states. In such a case, we should leave vipassana meditation, mindfulness meditation alone, and switch on our noting mind to loving kindness meditation, metta meditation. You may have some experience in developing loving kindness meditation, metta meditation. When we develop loving kindness meditation, metta meditation, the mind is easily concentrated to a certain extent, but not very deep. When the mind becomes concentrated to a certain extent, we feel calm, tranquil, serene. Then we proceed, if we proceed with the loving kindness meditation, the mind becomes more and more deeply concentrated there. And we feel more tranquility, serenity, and calmness. When we think it's enough, we have enough concentration and serenity and tranquility, we should switch on vipassana meditation, mindfulness meditation. It may take about 15 minutes or 30 minutes, sometimes an hour, to concentrate mind by means of a metta meditation.
But we should do it until we have attained some degree of concentration and tranquility and serenity of mind. Then we should switch on to vipassana meditation by being aware of first of all, rising, falling, and so on. In this way, restlessness or despair or depression, strain and stretch can be overcome through development of a loving kindness metta meditation. Sometimes we should practice this metta meditation, one sitting or two sitting, and walking, and during walking too. It's very much helpful to concentrate our mind on the object of vipassana meditation, mental process or physical process. One day I may have a time to explain how to practice metta meditation. For your vipassana meditation. Yes. Then this distract wandering mind, thinking mind, imagination, ideas, opinions, mental images, analyzing, criticizing, thinking about, reasoning, reflection, all these are one of the hindrances. It's called Uddacca Kukkucca Nivarana. When you have these mental states, the emotional state in your mind, you are not able to concentrate your mind. So the hindrances are the enemy of concentration. You must not accept him. As soon as you know you have these mental states in your mind, you must observe it until they have disappeared. Then, when you deal with wandering mind, thinking mind, thoughts, ideas, opinions, imagination, your noting mind should be attentive, energetic, and somewhat quick. Not very quickly, but somewhat quickly. If you note any thought or ideas or imagination very quickly, say like this, thinking, like that, you become restless. You become despair. You can't concentrate well. The commentary to Pali text says, too much effort make the mind disperse and dissipating and too much effort makes the mind disperse and distracting. It's right. When you note very quickly, say thinking, you have to put too much effort in the noting, then the mind doesn't concentrate on the object of meditation. It goes astray because you are too eager to attain a concentration. So you put too much effort in the noting. Then what you be mindful of, be careful is not to note very quickly, not to note the thought very quickly, but noting should be somewhat quick. In other words, steady effort should be put into the noting. Steady effort should be put into the noting of the thought. Then noting mind gradually becomes more and more powerful. Then thinking mind becomes less weak and weak, weaker and weaker, then it stops. In this way, you can expel this hindrance, remorse, restlessness and remorse. Then the mind becomes concentrated and purified from hindrances. Only the noting mind is purified from defilements or hindrances. The insight knowledge that arises together with the concentration becomes sharp and penetrating. Only then it can penetrate into the true nature of a bodily and mental process, as it really is. In other words, only the mind is well concentrated, deeply concentrated on the object of meditation. The insight knowledge that arises together with the concentration realizes a specific characteristic or general characteristic of a mental and physical phenomena. It's called a vipassana jnana. When we say vipassana, it includes both mindfulness and insight. Because without mindfulness, no insight arises. When you are mindful of any mental or physical process, then you get the concentration and the insight. So when we say vipassana, it includes both mindfulness and insight. In Burmese language, we use the word shuti. Shu means mindfulness. Ti means insight. So vipassana means mindfulness, mindful penetrating of three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta, of mental and physical phenomena. If you are not mindful of mental and physical phenomena, you are not able to realize it, or you are not able to have insight that penetrating into the true nature of a bodily and mental phenomena. So here, even though our concentration is deep, our concentration is deep enough, if our aim is not to realize mental and physical process, then we can't do it. Because the aim of a vipassana meditation is to realize bodily and mental phenomena as they really are. But samatha and samatha meditation, the aim of samatha meditation is to attain higher degree of concentration, only not to realize any mental or physical process. So, though samatha meditator has attained the fifth stages of a deep concentration, higher concentration, this is called jhana, panchama jhana, the fifth stage of jhana we call it. Though he has attained such higher degree of concentration, he is not able to realize mental and physical phenomena because his purpose is not to realize it but to attain deep concentration of mind only. In some cases, when our mind is too deeply concentrated on the object of meditation, then we are unable to realize any mental or physical process because the mind is deeply getting into the object of meditation. So it hasn't any power to realize mental and physical phenomena. This concentration is called too deep concentration, which does not enable meditator to realize bodily and mental phenomena. But too deep concentration is a very rare case. Yeah. No meditator attain too deep concentration. So do not worry about it. Do not worry about it. There are the seven mental faculties which a yogi must be possessed of. The seven kinds of mental faculties which a yogi must be possessed of. And these five mental faculties also to be kept in balance and made sharp and strong. The Visuddhimagga Atthagata, the commentary to on the Pali text said, the five mental faculties are firm faith in the Dharma, it's called Sada. Shraddha in Sanskrit, Sada in Pali. Then, strenuous effort, we call it Viriya. In some cases, it's known as Padana. Then constant and continuous mindfulness, sati in Pali, sati. Then deep concentration, samadhi. Then insight or enlightenment, panya. Sada, viriya, sati, samadhi, panya. These are the five mental faculties which a yogi must be possessed of. And all these five faculties should be kept in balance, and might, sharp, and penetrating, strong. Yet, when we realize any mental process or physical processes, for instance, rising movement and falling movement of the abdomen. In the beginning, we know our abdomen rises and falls. Then here, what we know is just a person whose abdomen rises and falls. Then we have the idea of a person being concerning this rising fall of the abdomen. We do not discern the specific characteristic of a wind element, vayu or dhatu. So we identify rising movement and falling movement of the abdomen as a person. My abdomen rises and it falls back. When our quality, because of the enough effort, mindfulness becomes clearer and sharper, and the concentration becomes deeper. Noting mind becomes concentrated on the rising movement and falling movement of the abdomen to a certain extent. Then we come to realize rising movement as a physical process, falling movement also as a physical process. We do not pay any attention to the form of the abdomen and also the form of the body. What we are realizing at that time is just physical process of rising movement and physical process of falling movement. Then the mental process that knows it, realizes it. Here we come to differentiate between the mental process and physical process. Without being aware of, without being conscious of the abdomen and also the form of the body, because our mind is solely concentrated on the movement, the process of the movement, then we don't have any idea of I or you, a person, a being. At that moment, then what's there? This is just physical process of a rising movement, physical process of a falling movement, and the mental process that knows it as it is. This is called insight that realizes or penetrates into the true nature of rising movement and falling movement and the mind that notes it. To make this insight arise in this way, we need concentrated mind, some degree of concentration. If the mind is not well concentrated on the movement of the abdomen, we are not able to realize this dual process in this way. Because the mind is well concentrated on the movement of the abdomen, we come to realize this is just a physical process of rising movement and falling movement. And the mental process of the mind that notes it. So to have insight, we need some degree of a deep concentration. To have a deep concentration, we need constant and continuous mindfulness, a clear and strong mindfulness, even though it's not yet continuous and constant for the whole day. It must be clearer and powerful. So we need clear and powerful mindfulness to attain deep concentration of a mind. Then to have clear and powerful mindfulness, what we need is enough effort and the practice in the noting. Strenuous effort should be put into the noting and the practice. If the effort is slackening, weak, then mindfulness cannot be powerful and clear. Only the mental effort becomes powerful, then it enables a meditator to be mindful of whatever arises in our body and mind attentively and very precisely and closely. Only then we have a clear and powerful mindfulness. So, to obtain it, we need strenuous effort. To put strenuous effort in the practice, what we need is a strong faith, a confidence in our technique, in the Dharma expounded by the Buddha or taught by the Buddha, especially in the technique we are now practicing. Because we have a strong faith in the technique, then we put a strenuous effort in the practice. When we are mindful of any mental or physical process with strenuous effort, it means attentively, energetically, precisely and closely. Then mindfulness becomes powerful. When the mindfulness becomes powerful and clearer, then the mind becomes concentrated more and more deeply on the object of meditation which is observed. When the mind is deeply concentrated on the object of meditation, it's free from all hindrances. Hindrances such as sense desire, ill will, aversion, and so on. When the mind becomes purified, the insight, knowledge that arises together with the concentration becomes sharp and penetrating. Then it penetrates into the true nature of our Bodhimagga process. When we note rise and fall, it penetrates into the physical process of a movement, rising movement and falling movement, and the mental process that knows the object. In this way, a meditator must have these five mental faculties balanced and sharp and strong. They are strong faith, strenuous effort, clear and powerful mindfulness or constant mindfulness, deep concentration, and insight or enlightenment. In Pali, Sadda, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. We call this five Indriyas. The five Indriyas are translated into five mental faculties, which a yogi must be endowed with. Do you remember five mental faculties? What are they? Sadda, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. In English? Strong faith, strenuous effort, continually constant mindfulness, deep concentration, and insight and enlightenment. These five mental faculties are related to each other as a cause and effect. What's the basic cause? Sadda, strong faith, Dhamma, and the technique of meditation. When Sadda is strong enough, then it causes strenuous effort to be mindful of the object. When Viriya becomes strenuous or strong enough, then mindfulness becomes clear, powerful, constant, and continuous. When the mindfulness becomes clear, powerful, and constant, continuous, then the mind deeply concentrated on the object of meditation. When the mind is deeply concentrated on the object of meditation, there arises insight knowledge that realizes specific characteristic of general characteristic of bodily and mental phenomena, or physical and mental phenomena. That's the insight, knowledge, vipassana jnana. When we when you have attained the insight knowledge, one stage after another, until we have attained the 13th stage of insight, then we come to realize the cessation of all kinds of suffering with the knowledge, with the enlightenment or path knowledge. There we attain the path knowledge. It's called enlightenment. So we can say we became enlightened at the end of all 13 stages of inside knowledge. If we have attained all of them. So in this way, you can attain the cessation of all kinds of suffering in this existence. What you need is to be endowed with what? 5 mental faculties. Sadda, Viriya, Siddhi, Samadhi, Panya. So may all of you be possessed of these 5 mental faculties, balanced and strong enough, and attain the cessation of suffering.